Kelowna, one of the most beautiful places in the world to live. Surrounded by provincial parks, pine forests, vineyards, orchards, and mountains. Wouldn't it be great if there was a podcast about our love of Kelowna? Oh no, it's real. This is I Love Kelowna, an interview-style podcast about the fabulous and fascinating people that make up our great city and the Okanagan. Intimate conversations with entrepreneurs, executives, thought leaders, creatives, and anyone who has an interesting story to tell about how they're contributing to our wonderful home. This is I Love Kelowna, and here's your host, Luke J. Minkus.
So, Renee, congratulations on being the 100th person that we've interviewed for the show. And you're one of the rare guests that were actually born and raised in Kelowna.
It's true, I am. Yeah, so first of all, thank you. It's an honor to be your 100th. That's special. And I am. I'm born and raised in Kelowna, coming up 43 years ago. Wow. And yeah, I feel very, very grateful. Way to go, Mom and Dad. Thank you.
That's awesome. So you've noticed a lot of changes. I mean, I first vacationed here in 2004.
Okay.
And 14, 15 years now, I've seen a ton of changes. Like when I came here, it was still the drawbridge.
Sure.
But the bridge was under construction.
Yep.
But even the downtown and what they've done with Bernard has been tremendous. But that's only 15 years.
Yeah.
So growing up as a kid,
yep,
I must have seen some huge changes.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I think. Primarily what stands out to me the most is just population. I mean, We've just expanded and we've just, you know, spread out and a little, you know, I get this. I don't know that Kelowna's ever been a really small community, quote unquote. I mean, in relation to, what are we, like probably the fourth biggest city in BC,
yeah,
if you count Vancouver and the extended and then Victoria, or we were the third, I guess, maybe, or
right.
I don't know. But yeah, I definitely feel I feel grateful that it's a place that I want to share.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't look at it as a detriment, but yeah, that would be the number one thing that I've noticed is that it's definitely grown.
Yeah. West Kelowna, I understand, was pretty sleepy before the bridge was done, especially. It was kind of small.
Yeah. I don't want to say that there isn't anything that stands out for me in that, because that's relative to our interests and what we're doing when we're, so it doesn't mean that there wasn't, but yeah, I mean, now West Kelowna is vibrant and I love that community, and particularly from a trail running perspective and what the city of West Kelowna is doing over there for our trails and the RDCO. And so, yeah, certainly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're an endurance athlete. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your career. So how old were you when you first noticed that you love running, for example?
Yeah, so I think as far as I can remember, I've always liked to run, but my background growing up, actually, I played competitive softball and volleyball. And I have an older brother who's 5 years older, and like many siblings, maybe not all, but many siblings, when we grow up, we look up to our older siblings, or we want to be part of what they're doing because they're older and they're cooler and they're and my brother played volleyball, and any chance I could get, I would play volleyball with him. So, I remember in high school participating in a lot of different track events and running events and maybe doing quite well and really enjoying it. But volleyball was my pull. And the track teacher used to leave notes on my locker saying, in a very fun way, you know, volleyball sucks, join track. And then the next day, you know, that my volleyball coach would be like, track sucks, stay in volleyball. And so I was sort of, obviously I had a draw to running, but volleyball was my passion. And I ended up, you know, playing BC Summer Games, and I played 2 years for Team BC, and that was sort of more my niche. And I just remember my gym teacher, I would, you know, ask him, instead of playing rugby or like field hockey today, or can I just go for a run around the block for
really?
Half an hour? Yeah, and he'd be like, yeah, that's meets your requirements. And so I remember, but I was never really a serious runner. I never really thought about, you know, what it would be to participate in an event or anything.
Mm-hmm.
My background was primarily fitness based. That's mostly what motivated me.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. So an endurance athlete, is that running and other things too, or is it primarily running?
No, in theory it is. For me now, it's running,
okay,
you know, and some cycling. So I do some cycling as well. But yeah, I mean, sure, certainly. I mean, you can apply endurance to virtually any sport, right? So
right.
But yeah, for me, that's. Yeah.
And is that marathons?
Well, it's ultra marathons. Primarily my passion is stage racing, which is multi-day trail running races in the mountains, or
wow.
Yeah.
So is it like a time limit? You do so many hours per day and then you restart the next day?
Well, I've participated in a few. The very first trail running race that I ever participated in was with my husband in Thailand. And it was a 5-day trail race. And you basically, it's by distance. So you're going to run 20 to 25K a day. It takes you how long it takes you. You recover in a jungle and you sleep in a tent and you get up and you repeat that for 5 days.
I see.
And that's more so the format that I've done. I've done the BC bike race, which is a mountain bike race like that. And then the past, this will be my 9th year going back to a race called the Gore-Tex Transalpine Run, which crosses 4 countries in Europe.
Wow.
Through the Alps.
Mm-hmm. So what's the longest you've ran?
The single longest training run has been about 64 kilometers. And that was actually a charity run that Pace did back in, I think, 2014. We do a charity, a variety of charity events. But this one we did the, I'm drawing a blank. It's weird. From Kelowna to Vernon on the High Rim Trail.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you encountered any surprises in your career? Like, did a bear ever jump out at you? Or did you see any crazy injuries or...
No, I think the scariest thing, if we're talking encounters, I mean, I've seen cougar, I've seen moose, I've seen bear. I think a lot of people in Kelowna, we're crouching in their habitat, and this is actually more common than probably what people think. People that are doing these activities, I mean, but probably the scariest encounter I had was a rattlesnake in Okanagan Mountain Park. And not that it was at all aggressive or anything, but just the actual surprise of it and seeing it. I've seen many since then, but the first one was a little unnerving.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to train for a marathon, like there was a first time that you did a marathon.
Yep.
Was it dramatically different from what you had been doing, or is it something that you just incrementally built up to?
The first ultra I ran was the Chuckanut. And that was, so ultra meaning 50 kilometers or more. It was a 50K trail race. For me, that was a big step because I was sort of a weekend warrior and I was fairly new to trail running. I mean, I'd done this this race in Thailand, but I was just sort of at that time getting into it. And although born and raised here in Kelowna, I think that I'm an example of someone, for better or worse, that really didn't appreciate or get out and understand what Kelowna had to offer when I grew up. So the first time that I ever stepped on a trail was when I met my husband. He moved here from Prince Rupert, and our first date was he took me on a trail running race in Okanagan Mountain Provincial Park because I'd been a runner, and really there's that's primarily how our trail running clinic started. I remember that run, of course. It was great. Was pretty attracted to the fellow I was running with. Right. That was a bonus. But aside from that, I just remember feeling like I love this so much that I want to share this with everybody. Like, it was just that good that I thought I want all the people who want to know and want to do this to do this, and I want to help them. So getting back to the Chuckanut, I think that it was a step up in that I hadn't trained like that before, so that was new to me. When I look back, do I do things differently now? Sure, you know, that's primarily based on experience and trial and error. And
I've heard people say, especially people who start running a bit later in life, like in their 20s or 30s, that when they first started, they kind of hated it. Like, it was very painful and took like a few weeks of doing it consistently before they actually started to get those endorphins and really enjoy it. But I guess for you, it was just pleasurable from the start.
Well, like I said, I think like when I was in grade 12, I fitness was a big motivator for me. And I started taking my certifications to teach and instruct fitness. So by the time I was 18, I was teaching fitness in Kelowna. It was a part-time job for me. So running for me was, I think, more parallel with that. It wasn't actually that I loved running so much for running. I think that the motivation for me at 18 was, this is part of me staying fit and healthy, and if that makes sense. And then, I remember at the gym that I was working at the time, the fitness coordinator, she was leaving for a run one day, and I was like, oh, you're going for a run? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, how long are you running for? And she's like, just 2 hours. And I was like, 2 hours? Who in their right mind runs for that long? Because I would go for half an hour, 45 minutes.
Right.
It was fitness. It wasn't like I was training for anything at that time.
Yeah.
Right. So then it sort of just evolved from there for me, different opportunities.
Yeah. So you started teaching almost immediately. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's like to motivate people? Because I know some people are better students than others. You know, I've taught different topics totally unrelated to fitness. Some people are really eager, you know, really excited about it, and others almost feels like you got to pull them.
Yeah, but I think there's a few elements to that in terms of motivating people. Number one, it's really hard to motivate somebody to do something that they just don't really want to do. I mean, if you do not have that desire, like if you're just, getting really clear on why you're chasing what you're chasing, I mean, that's a big part of it. And I also think that, as human beings, we all want to feel good.
Right.
Whether that's in our relationships, with our health, with our finances, with our, the end goal in the world for all of us is we all just want to feel good. So I think when it comes to motivating, it's looking for ways to understand different athletes and different clients and different people and finding out what they need to do and to feel good. Does that make sense?
I mean, yeah, for sure. For sure.
So, I try to start with that and then work from that with individuals, if that makes sense.
Because everybody's unique, and I'm sure some people are really committed to running. They're going to have setbacks, and they're going to have days where you can tell as the coach, hey, something's a little off, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit easier, providing that, you know, there's transparency, which I'm very fortunate. I'm very privileged to the people that I get to work with and that I get to be around, and it's an amazing, inspiring community. And if I'm being honest, sometimes, not that that's, I want to label it as quote unquote my job, but Pace is a place that I'm not the only person now doing the motivating. So, you know, in our trail running clinics and at our races, people are giving that freely. Like what you put out there, you get back. This is happening. So it isn't, the motivation is no longer just coming from me. It's a really beautiful thing to be a part of.
Nice. So you mentioned Pace. Is that the name of the organization?
Yeah. So my business is called Pace Sports Fitness. And Pace stands for Positive Attitude Changes Everything. And what's interesting about that is where I'm at with Pace now, opposed to when I began it. If I'm being truthful, if I had to, you know, think of a name for my business, it probably would have been Pace Trail Runs, because now I'm primarily trail running. But, you know, when I look back at how I got started with Pace, I was really heavily motivated and inspired, and my passion was fitness. I was also working in an insurance industry at the time. And one of the gals that I taught fitness with, her name is Amber Gilbert, and she's a phenomenal athlete. She's a track coach. She's a great mom, all the things. And she asked if I wanted to be a run leader for the Sun Run Clinic. And this is probably 16 years ago or so now. And back then, there weren't running clinics in the interior, let alone Kelowna. It was sort of a dime a dozen. It was still sort of a new thing. And so she asked me to come out and be a run leader. We taught fitness together. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is the first time that I put the connection together with how much I love to run and apply my education and my tactics in terms of motivating and inspiring and educating people fitness-wise, that it overlapped in a running role. And so from there, Amber and I, we started Kelowna's first speed clinic, and we would write programs for people, and we had this clinic format, and it was wonderful. It was such a great thing to be part of.
So a speed clinic is getting people faster.
Yeah. And it was a road running clinic at that time. So, and that was sort of the overlap in that time when I had met my husband and I'd gone for the trail run. And eventually what happened was the speed clinics turned into trail running clinics. And at that Sun Run at the time, you know, being a volunteer leader for her on the Sun Run, I right away, like I do with most things in my life, I dove into all my coaching certifications and all my education. And I would spend weekends in Vancouver, and I would take courses here in Kelowna. And I just wanted to be this sponge of information and build off of my already background in fitness. And so then I started offering trail running clinics. But the reason I called initially Pace Sports Fitness was because at the time I didn't really know what Pace was going to be. I mean, my husband and I led snowshoe clinics. We hired a cross-country ski coach to lead some Nordic camps for us. I would coach plyometric classes.
What's that?
It's like, it's basically just it's a strength class. I would do more specific networking of certain classes underneath that umbrella while I was working at an insurance industry full-time, teaching fitness part-time, and sort of starting to build this thing that was becoming a business, but not really realizing maybe at the time where it was going to go. I think when I look back, I never really had a 2-year, 5-year, 10-year, 15-year plan. Pace for me has always been a feeling, and it's something I've always just, it's organically grown for me. So it hasn't, I haven't tried to for it to specifically be anything. It's rather just become something, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a constant evolution, or it has been.
It has been. And I think what ended up happening when I look back is I was sort of outgrowing my role in insurance and realizing that maybe that wasn't something that I was really passionate about, which happens to a lot of people. I've been there for the old 7 years, you know, so, and my husband was supportive, although there might've been a quiet moment on the couch and he might've gone up to the beer fridge and, you know, cracked open a beer. But, when I ended up quitting my job in insurance and I spent, a summer, spent some time with my son and to sort of figure out what I wanted to do. And I remember I took a course in Vernon for massage therapy and I loved it. I thought, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a massage therapist.
Right.
And then our son was quite young and I thought, oh, I don't know that I can feel very good about investing the commute time and how much time this is going to take. I'm going to lose a lot of, so I thought, no, that's not right. And then I started looking into nursing and then my husband reminded me that I don't really like the sight of blood. So I'm like, oh yeah, good point. That's probably not going to work. And what ended up happening was Gold's Gym, which is now Global Fitness. So Global Fitness in town, new ownership came in and I thought, you know, I'm going to teach some extra classes. I've got some extra time right now. I'm going to go drop my resume off and meet the new owners and see if there's an opportunity for me to teach fitness there. And the owner and I got along really, really, really well. And I feel this was a pivotal part of my career. And I think for me personally too is, not only did they hire me as a fitness instructor, but they offered me the role of a fitness, the fitness director. So I felt like in terms of my fitness career, I'm like, this is almost as good as it gets in terms of, you know, I've been maximizing most of my certifications. Mm-hmm. I now had an opportunity to not only influence people within a fitness class, but I got to work with other, fitness professionals and influence and learn from them and, and use my creativity to create schedules and be more part of that, just that community within there. And so, you know, I took that full-time job and that was kind of the next step for me. And then, really fast forwarding, to just 3 years ago or so, I eventually realized that as Pace organically grew, it became very, a lot more specific into trail running. And, I kind of came to a little fork in the road where I either sort of needed to decide, can I continue to do both and do both well? Because this one's growing and I'm down to 3 days a week at this one, but loving both of them, like passionate, loving both of them. And,
how did you make the decision eventually?
You know what? I had a lot of, again, support from my husband. He's my best friend. We had lots of talks and Global Fitness was always very supportive of me. And I think that, again, we just sort of decided that, if I was going to give it a go, it was, this was sort of the time for me to give it a go and see. And I just felt, a little greater pull in that direction, although it was probably one of the hardest decisions that I had to make, because it was definitely bittersweet leaving behind, the community at Global Fitness that had been such a big part of my life and so supportive and yet, you know, exciting to sort of see if I could expand.
Okay. So tell us like how Pace works. Is it, classes? Does someone sign up for a class? Do you have different?
Yes. So I have, there's different umbrellas, I guess, that I have under Pace. So when I essentially retired from the fitness industry after 20 plus years, that was sort of, I moved on. I decided I was going to give Pace a go. And, we have a clinic series. So basically 4 clinics a year, people sign up for, there's 3 different distances. So you can sign up for a 15 kilometer, 25 or 50 K training group. So that means that you don't start with that distance, but we're going to help build your endurance and your fitness up to that distance. And then we have a mountain running camp series. So we lead people, basically on summer running vacations in through, the mountains in the summer. We have a race series. We've got 4 races in our series.
What's the distance of the race?
So they're all a little bit different. What's interesting about the race series is this, again, this wasn't anything that at the time I thought, at no time did I think that I was going to be a race director. I mean, we had our training clinics and as a coach, I was training people for certain races, and we would travel to Washington, and we would go to Vancouver, and we would do these events, and we'd have a great time, and we'd accomplish our goals, and we'd have some beers and some nachos, and it was awesome. And this the one year we were preparing for a specific race in Vancouver, and about 4 weeks before the race, I think there was a change in ownership of the race. So don't quote me on that, but there was a change within the race that affected the race date. And what they did is they moved the race date ahead a weekend. And of course, our athletes had bought plane tickets, and they had made arrangements, and they had babysitters, and they had, and we've been working so hard towards this goal. So I thought, my husband and I talked about it, and I said, you know, I feel like I have a responsibility to these people. They've been working hard at this, and now the race date has changed. So I said, you know what, screw it. We're putting on a race here just for our clinic participants. We're going to figure this out. And so the next run, I told everybody that, you know, if you can still go to the race, of course, go to the race. Those of you that can't, if you want to participate in this, we're going to have our own pace race here. And, you know, again, looking back, we did it under, no one paid for it. It wasn't like a sanctioned race. However, I didn't know a thing about running a trail running race. So we call it nightmare. We called it Nightmare on Pay Street because it was a Halloween race. Everybody dressed up and we marked a course, and my friends helped volunteer, and people came out. And the week or so leading into the race, I started getting phone calls from people and emails saying, hi, I got your phone number, and I heard you're running a race in the, you know, is it too late to register? And I'm like, oh yeah, no, sorry. It's not a non-actual race. And I'd explain. And so then after that, the feedback from my athletes was so positive, and they were like, you need to do this. This needs to be a race. It was awesome. And that's kind of how I actually ended up getting into becoming a race director. The following year, we ran that race again, and then we added another race. So that race was in Myra Bellevue Provincial Park here in Kelowna. And then we added a race in Rose Valley Provincial Park, which is in West Kelowna. So sorry. We added a race in Myra Bellevue here in Kelowna, and that was a 42K, 20K, 12K. And then we added a race in Rose Valley Regional Park, and that's a 50K, 25K, 10K. And then we got permitting for a race in Roslyn, BC, in the Kootenays, called the Broken Goat. And that race is a 50K, 25K, 12K, and it's in the High Alpine in the mountains. And then,
so those three distances happen simultaneously? Is that what's happening?
Yep, they all happen on the same day. Yeah. Not all race directors do that. I mean, some race, especially when you get into longer distances, you'll run your 100-mile or your 50-mile, and it just depends. I mean, we, despite our race series being one of the most challenging and most popular series now in BC, and our sellout rates are increasingly growing, we, part of my philosophy, you know, within pace, all of pace, is it's important for me to try to build relationships and stay connected with people. And again, create that feeling, that feeling where people feel like they're part of something and they feel good.
Right.
And so with the exception of Broken Goat, we limit the participation of our events so that we don't get so big that we can't run. Everybody can't just run together on the same day and celebrate on the same day, but that also that we don't have so many people that suddenly there's, you know, 500, 600, 700 people, and I'm like, I don't know who you are, I don't have time to talk to you. We can't build that connection.
Yeah.
And then our fourth race is called the Wild Horse Traverse, and it's through Okanagan Mountain Park here in Kelowna, from Kelowna to Naramata.
Very cool. So, how beginner was the most beginner person that you athlete that you would typically get? Are they mostly trained athletes that want to improve, or do you get some beginners who are like, I'm out of shape and I want to be able to do 10K?
Yeah. So there was a period of time where we ran Learn to Run trail running clinics. We don't do those anymore. And now we have a prerequisite for our. So people can be new to trail running, but they have to have a running base. So for example, if you want to join the 15-kilometer trail running group, you need to be able to at least be running one run that's 30 to 45 minutes and one run that's 45 to an hour. So once you reach that baseline, then you can jump into the clinic, you start training with the 15K, and we build your endurance and your fitness from there. And of course, it's what's great about our clinic format is not all people, because it's not always about running longer or doing more or adding, right? I mean, but for some people that are trying to get there, they start with it and they love it, and they're like, they can come from the 15K clinic to the 25K clinic, the next clinic, and then they graduate into the 50K. But there's a nice option. I mean, a lot of the people in the 15K clinic, they want to get faster and or they have time restraints. I mean, they're parents. Mm-hmm. They're busy. They're just busy. They don't have 3+ hours to spend running on every Sunday, right?
How long does a 50K race typically take for the average?
Totally varies. It depends on the particular race. I mean, not all 50Ks are equal. So there's some 50Ks that are flatter, some that have more climbing, some that are more technical. So depending on your strengths, is how fast you're going to move through any course, and fitness, obviously. But I mean, I'm sure, you know, some 50Ks are probably very similar to a marathon, like to a 40K road marathon, and upwards of, I think our cutoffs are 9-10 hours for some of our races. So some people are out there for a long time, and some 50Ks are longer than that, depending on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So Renee, tell us about some of your charity work that you're doing.
Yeah. So this is something that Pace feels really, it's super rewarding for us. We do charity runs every year that support the Canadian Mental Health Association. And we do some charity runs that support the West Kelowna Trail Crew Society and the Friends of the South Slopes and some organizations in Roslyn. So basically it's about doing our part. We're lucky enough that we get to spend time enjoying the trails and spending our time out there. But what about the people that are working hard to keep track, you know, take care of those things and to give back to our community? We do charity runs for the Kelowna Food Bank and those sorts of things. So I think we've raised almost $70,000 over the past 10 years or so.
So you always need sponsors for those?
We don't actually. To be honest, no. Pace just funds them and puts them on, and 100% of the proceeds go back towards whatever charity it is that we're working on. Now we have really, really good support overall in terms of Pace. So we work with a lot of Kelowna, like local Kelowna businesses that have been really, really generous and great to us, as well as some, you know, bigger running brands like Salomon and Hammer Nutrition and those sorts of things. So
nice.
It's great.
Do you have a central website?
We do. So if you go to www.pacesportsfitness.com, and from that website, you can link to our race website. There's a link on there that'll actually take you to another website that has all of our race series on it as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
So who would you like to nominate to come on the show?
So I understand this is a key part of your podcast, and I hope I'm not totally breaking the link on you, but I genuinely feel like I couldn't narrow it down. I am surrounded by so many, I'm talking a long list of incredible people that I genuinely couldn't narrow it down to just a few. So if you want me to send you an Excel spreadsheet, I will. Sure. So I'm sorry I can't just nominate a few.
That's okay. We've had people nominate up to 6 or 7, but basically it's just like if there's someone that you would like to hear an interview about, then that's who we try to get on. But if you've got nobody, that's fine.
I have too many. That's what it is. I have too many. Yeah.
All right. Well, Renee, thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah.
It's been great chatting.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to I Love Kelowna. We love where we live. And how can you not? With all the provincial parks, pine forest, vineyards, orchards, mountains, on each show we have in-depth, intimate conversations with entrepreneurs, execs, thought leaders, and creatives, all that make up Kelowna. You can support the show so we can keep producing by going to paypal.me/Luke Menkes. And make sure to visit the official website at ilovekelowna.buzzsprout.com. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from the show. And we hope you had some fun along the way. We'll be back soon. Until then, this is I Love Kelowna, signing off.